everybody across the land. Here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. 'Cause you're gonna find out after this theme. This Sequel Cast special is a go. This Sequel Cast special is a go. What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? What's it gonna be about? Who knows?
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. The Sequel Cast Special is a podcast that looks at movie topics at large, usually having to do with sequels. The theme song you just heard is by Mark with the C. You can check his stuff out at markwiththec.com. And you can check out past Sequel Cast Special episodes and also episodes of our sister shows, Sequel Cast and Sequel Commentary, over at sequelcast.com. With me is Thrasher.
Hello, friends and listeners, and a handful of enemies. You know who you are. You know what you did.
And on Sequel Cast Special, we're talking. We usually don't talk about current news, but something popped up as of this day of recording, October 30th, 2012, that is just too big to pass up and not do a Sequel Cast Special on. It has been announced this afternoon that the Walt Disney Company is buying Lucasfilm from Star Wars director and creator George Lucas.
And they're getting everything that goes with it.
Right, so that includes the company Lucasfilm, LucasArts, the video game company, Industrial Light and Magic, the special effects company, and Skywalker Sound, which is a sound engineering company. I'm wondering, do you think that includes Indiana Jones as well? Because those films are done at Paramount.
It depends on who actually owns the idea of Indiana Jones, which, as I understand it, like both Lucas and Spielberg have a claim on.
Yeah, I think.
And who knows? That could be the first big lawsuit emerging out of the sale.
I don't know if there'd be a lawsuit necessarily, but I'm very curious to see who owned the rights to Indiana Jones. And if you go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/sequelcast, I posted some links to articles. Like, there's an article really good from Forbes. .com. That's headline says Mickey Meet Yoda, Disney to buy Lucasfilm for $4.05 billion, written by Eric Savitz. And on the official Star Wars YouTube channel, they recently posted an interview with director George Lucas and Kathleen Kennedy, who was recently made the I believe head of Lucasfilm.
I believe she's going to be the one in charge of any further development.
Because George Lucas has recently announced his retirement from filmmaking, and although he's still involved with the Star Wars Clone Wars series in some aspects, and
I hate to be snide, yeah, but some would say that he retired from filmmaking sometime in the 80s.
Right, no, that joke's been going around for a while, and I mean, so why did we want to talk about this on Sequel Cast Special, Thrasher? What is it when you saw the news? Because someone at work, our manager, literally walked to everyone's desk and says, oh, I have some news for movie nerds. And he likes Star Wars, too. And he says Disney now owns Star Wars.
Well, what did it for me is when I first saw this, the news was broken for me on the AV Club website in a most entertaining fashion.
Yeah.
And It stuck with me. Oh, well, this is Star Wars has been a big enough part of both of our lives.
Sure.
This is something that we need to at least discuss on the Sequel Cast. And I figured we would just comment on it when we recorded our episode for Queen of the Damned. But Matt, you had the very wise idea to know, let's just ditch our plans for the special episode we were going to do and just do a special episode about this news and about Star Wars and what it means.
Yeah, I think that's good. You might recall there's an earlier Sequel Cast Special episode that I did just by myself, talking sort of about the different cuts of Star Wars around the time of the Blu-ray release last year, back when you weren't on that episode, Thrasher, because it was during the Cascadia FM stuff.
Or as we like to call it, the Interbellum.
The Interbellum, sure.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Antebellum, but...
The bucolic period.
Yes, bucolic, as it were. But yeah, no, I think this news is very interesting, and listeners might not know that Disney, you know, purchased Marvel. Was that last year, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah, meaning, you know, like Marvel Comics, and they have the rights to those characters, but that does not mean that Disney has the rights to do movies and all the Marvel characters, because different studios, you know, own the rights to do movies on different characters, like Fox has the rights for Fantastic Four.
Give them time. Disney will buy those movie studios, too.
I don't think Disney's going to buy every movie studio in existence, but that would be kind of cool if all the Marvel stuff was under one, you know, one development studio, and they could do what they pleased with it.
That I wouldn't mind, if only because of what they've been able to do with this, with the subtle and not so subtle interlinking of you know, Iron Man and Avengers and Hulk and all those other movies. But I guess I think is the downside of all this is I really do not like media consolidation, and this is a big heaping moment of media consolidation.
Yep.
You know, Lucasfilms was an independent film studio, and you know, ILM was this huge independent special effects production house, and now it's all under the big umbrella of an even bigger corporation. And while it could lead to more and possibly even better Star Wars films in the future, it just means that a smaller and smaller group of people are holding the reins of our cinematic culture.
One thing I think is very interesting about the announcement that a lot of people aren't talking about, and I do want to say right off the bat, you know, we're just talking about sort of pie-in-the-sky rumor stuff. We don't really know anything other than, you know, what we've just told you from these news stories we've been reading.
Or do we?
Oh, tricky, tricky. Yeah, but is, you know, one of the company that's Disney has the rights to now is LucasArts. And I grew up liking tons of the LucasArts computer games, like Secret of Monkey Island or Maniac Mansion or Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. But recently, as a video game company, LucasArts hasn't really been putting out a lot by itself. You know, there's been like Lego Star Wars. They've announced a game that's coming out for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, I believe, called Star Wars 1313. That looks like kind of like a darker action game where you play, I think, like a bounty hunter. That's...
Well, it'd be nice to play something that's not a Jedi.
Right, right, exactly. And you have the, I guess more recently, as far as the LucasArts video games, you have something that LucasArts, you know, is a producer on, but it was actually made by BioWare, Star Wars The Old Republic, which was an MMORPG for the PC, that after only a year now is becoming a free-to-play game. And originally, and they have a subscription option if you want extra bonus items and more things. But, you know, a lot of those are going free-to-play. And for it to happen so quickly for, you know, such a big property as a Star Wars MMO, I think is interesting.
Well, yes, Star Wars has had kind of a rocky road towards MMORPGs, because there was Star
Galaxy,
Wars Galaxies,
yeah.
which came out at, I think, just the right time, but it wasn't the Star Wars game people wanted.
Well, and in fact, with Star Wars Galaxies, they kind of remade a whole bunch of it and, you know, totally redesigned the experience a few years after it came out, which pissed off a lot of fans that, like, you know, some of the more obscure, arcane, pain-in-the-ass stuff of the original version. It was like really difficult to be a Jedi and get a lightsaber, and I think when they launched the new version of Star Wars Galaxies, you could be a Jedi with a lightsaber right off the bat, pretty much. But, you know, a lot of people like to play those games to be Jedi characters, and I agree in that, you know, with the Star Wars 1313 game coming out, where it looks like you're a bounty hunter, as far as I know. They haven't released too much about that one. That, you know, it could be an interesting different take on that universe.
Well, that's one thing I'm curious about is this going to affect any of the pre-existing Star Wars licenses? For instance, Fantasy Flight Games recently acquired the Star Wars tabletop role-playing game license, as well as the board game license. And I think so far they've only published their X-Wing board game. The RPG is still in the playtesting phase. Not that that stopped them from selling copies of it at Gen Con. But I'm wondering, are those rights going to get pulled back, or are the existing agreements going to stay in place?
If I was to guess, I would say a lot of the existing agreements, you know, might be renegotiated and things to have the Disney logo on there somewhere. But, and it should be noted with this whole Disney thing that Lucasfilm and Disney have worked together on stuff for quite some time. There is the Star Tours ride. Recently, they came out with the second one that has a lot more randomization in it. And they've released over the past few years these sort of action figures that's like, you know, Star Wars characters, the Star Wars characters, but it's like Darth Vader is Goofy as an action figure or as a figurine, or Mickey Mouse is Luke Skywalker. And they did Muppets too.
They have a hand with Captain EO as well?
Yeah, George Lucas was... Right, that's a really good point. Yeah, he was a executive producer on Captain EO, a short film in a kind of... I believe it was a theater, like, kind of shook around and stuff as you're watching the film.
Yeah, it was
and it was in 3D, was
like,
yeah.
I don't know if it was 3D, but it was like a massive screen in the seats.
I mean, I saw Captain EO 20-something years ago when I was in... Last time I was at Walt Disney World, so I don't remember too much about it. But it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola, who directed The Godfather and was George Lucas's mentor starting out. So, yeah, I mean, that's another, you know, Lucas-Disney connection. And a few months ago, they announced that they're going to be coming out with, I think, like, toys and T-shirts of Star Wars characters combined with characters from the Pixar film Cars. So Darth Vader looks like... I don't know if you've seen that artwork, Thrasher, but it's...
I have not, but already... Yeah. I guess this is the thing. I want Star Wars to be something more than some action figures,
right?
And like right off, like when I don't know, that kind of cheap cash in just leaves a real bad thought in my brain.
Yeah, I mean, Lucas, the Star Wars stuff has never been afraid of merchandising, really. You know,
well,
there's
no,
been
and,
so
and
many.
I'm not against merchandising, but at this point in my life, it's like the idea that Star Wars is a film or a modern myth is an afterthought.
Yeah, it's I think there's been so many books and Star Wars books and video games and things over the years, but then and already as part of this announcement, Disney said they want to have a Star Wars Episode 7 come out in 2015, which is only in 3 years.
In fact, in the
video that we talked about earlier, which is also on our Facebook page at facebook.com/sequelcast, George Lucas mentions he's done outlines for Star Wars Episodes 7 through 9, and those are going to Disney. Not that they necessarily use those to do the movies or anything. And I would think even though George Lucas says he's retiring and stepping down, he'd be on as some kind of executive producer or consultant, although maybe not.
Oh, no, he is on as a consultant.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
With all the future Star Wars stuff.
So
that much has been confirmed in the articles I've read.
Right, and also like as far as current Star Wars stuff, there's the Cartoon Network series Star Wars The Clone Wars. That's a CG animated show animated out of Singapore that has been on for 4 seasons so far, and doesn't seem to be stopping anytime soon, as far as I know. I don't think they've announced a final season yet, but that's in Cartoon Network, so, I mean, what does that mean, you know, now that it's all owned by Disney? Is it going to go to another channel? Does it still have to deal with Cartoon Network? Like you said earlier, Thrasher, there's a lot of potentially confusing things that I'm sure will play out in the next few years.
It might move on to Jetix, we don't know.
Oh, is that the Disney channel?
Well, Jetix is owned by Disney, but it's like it's for non-Disney things that Disney owns, things that don't quite fit the Disney brand.
Is that where? Excuse me, my voice is kind of shot today. Is that where like there's the new Disney Spider-Man cartoon?
That might be a place,
or it might be Disney XD. I think might be another one, but
they actually that might be Disney XD. I know Jetix actually shows a lot of.
Like Power Rangers?
Relatively older things. They show reruns of The Tick. They sometimes show Pinky and the Brain. They show Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go, which, despite the title, is actually a very good show.
I've heard of Jetix, but I didn't realize it was owned by Disney.
Well, no, it wasn't originally. Oh. It was originally a programming block, and I think Saban might have had something to do with
right,
it. But then it eventually got gobbled up by the Disney Octopus.
A Disney Octopus.
I guess that's the thing. Like, I don't like having, like, I like Walt Disney and I like his output and I like the body of work he's created.
Well, you know, Walt Disney's been dead for a number of years, Thrasher.
Oh, I know. Okay. But I respect the man.
Yeah.
I just, like, I don't like the idea that corporations are now producing the culture as opposed to people. I mean, it really, like, that's, like, something that really pisses me off is when the rare times the Disney Channel shows a classic Disney cartoon, they don't even show the credits for the Disney cartoon. There's just, at the end of the episode, they just throw up a title card that says the animation used in this program has been produced by various Disney animators and artists over the past, you know, 70 years. What a fuck you to the people who actually, with their own hands, made those works of animation. And that's like, are we going to get is it going to go that way with everything once it gets old enough? Are we going to see a future Star Wars property that just kind of says Star Wars, you know, Star Wars was created by some guy?
Yeah, I've never seen something quite like that, although I do see a lot when they show movies on TV at the end of the film, they kind of squish the credits into a corner and speed up the credits really fast, so you can't read them or listen to the music and so forth.
Which is a shame, because I really like to appreciate, I like to appreciate the people who made the film. I want to read those credits. I consider that part of the experience. And I don't know, I guess I feel a tremendous amount of ambivalence, because on the one hand, I bet in the hands of someone other than Lucas, a really, really good Star Wars movie could be made. On the other hand, why can't we just give it a rest? Why can't we just stop with Star Wars and try to make whatever's going to be the next cultural touchstone?
I think other people were trying to do that, but Star Wars has been such an institution for 35 years now, and you know the first movie came out in 1977. That's a train that's I don't think is ever really going to stop it. But I appreciate what you're saying, Thrasher, in that you need new original stories that become these. You know, whether it's a series of books or an original series, in the case of Star Wars, you know, original series of films that takes off. And, I mean, when is the last time there's been an original series of film that has been a trilogy or something that really took off in pop culture? Was that The Matrix, maybe? Or has stuff happened since then where it's
well,
something
there was
where
such
it was
a backlash when The Matrix sequels came out? I think only the original Matrix and the Animatrix were really what people really glommed onto. The sequels, there was a pretty intense backlash. But The Matrix is, I guess, about as close as we've come to having a Star Wars for another
generation. Well, The Matrix trilogy still made a shitload of money in spite of, you know, what people might have thought of the movies, you know. And even, like, the Star Wars prequels, as much as people give them shit, made a lot of money, you know, especially Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, probably because at the time it was the first Star Wars movie in, 17 years or something? That's 80.
Yeah, but the
money, made almost $1 billion worldwide.
But the money doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, the first Star Wars movie could have made $1. It could have made the complete gross domestic product of the planet Earth. It would still be the same movie. The money it made doesn't really... That's its value as a product, but that's not its value as a work of art. And I want another work of art. I don't want another Star Wars product.
Well, I'm trying to, moving to Lucasfilm properties and so forth, I'm thinking of what they have. Do you think Disney would want to try to expand on the Willow franchise somehow? Because Willow was a movie that came out, or just was a movie, and then they came out with like three books where George Lucas did the outlines for the books, but the books themselves were written by Chris Claremont, who wrote a bunch of X-Men comics and stuff.
Well, I don't think we'd see much more from Willow, just because while that is fondly remembered, I don't think anyone's really clamoring for another Willow movie, especially when there were established fantasy epics that could be adapted. I mean, given time, maybe, but not within the next 10 years. Although, one thing that might come out of this, I would actually like to see a Monkey Island movie.
You know, for listeners that don't know, Monkey Island is a series of games done by LucasArts, although that are like adventure games you go around solving puzzles. But the most recent of which was done by Telltale Games. I think still had a LucasArts logo on there. Anyway.
But no, they're great games, and what with needing to find new video... established video game franchises to make movies out of, you could do a hell of a lot worse than Monkey Island.
Yeah, at one point LucasArts was considering that and had like some potential like storyboards and you know production drawings made, but it never got anywhere. I think at the time it was rumored they were considering Matthew Broderick as Guybrush Threepwood.
A young Matthew Broderick could have done right. that. He could even do it if it was animated. I would go for Elijah Wood in that role.
If they did live action, or you could also like,
yeah,
do. I'm thinking of Orlando Bloom could be okay. Although that'd be a bit meta because he was like a pirate guy in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, let's face it, though. Regardless of who we want to be cast in the role, it's going to go to Michael Cera.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice to see him do something with Monkey Island as like a cartoon. Like I didn't even think of that, but that would be. Something that would be a natural. You could even see that as a TV show, you know. There's so many funny characters in there and settings. I haven't played a lot of the recent of those games, though. I played the first three and then never beat four or the more recent one.
You know, I feel really good about, like, thinking of the possibility of more Monkey Island. Yeah. I actually feel really good about this buyout.
Feeling better about the Disney-Lucas buyout.
Because I guess that's the thing. I guess I'm done with Star Wars. So the Star Wars part of this equation is what interests me the least.
But yet, you know, that's the big thing that makes the headline, Star Wars, because that's the big...
Oh, yeah, that's clearly what this is all about.
Well, I mean, do you think with an Episode 7, not that we know anything, what they're going to do... I mean, I can't imagine they do it with the same actors from, like, Return of the Jedi and stuff, and now they're in their 60s and 70s running around... Shooting robots.
Probably not. Not that they couldn't use CGI to recreate the young versions of them.
Those always look creepy when they try to do that. The only time I've seen a movie where they use CG to make older people look younger and it works is... did you ever see Tron Legacy?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, I don't know how much you like Tron, but I think you would enjoy...
Oh, I love it.
I think you'd enjoy Tron Legacy. You should give it a chance. But in the beginning of the film, it does a flashback sequence... And they use CG to make, like, a CG young Jeff Bridges talking to his son. And it's kind of, like, in the shadows at night and stuff. And it looks really convincing. And, of course, Jeff Bridges plays kind of the older, modern-day guy stuck in the network in Tron. I don't know the names because I'm not that familiar with that universe, but...
I believe it's called The Grid.
The Grid, yeah, very good.
But, yeah. That's a movie that I am sure I am going to see eventually.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the Disney Star Wars stuff, there'll be a lot more Star Wars stuff coming out. I mean, I'm trying to think of what they've announced. They haven't announced anything really besides that Episode 7 is planned for release in 2015, which they should really be busting their ass to if they will get it done that quickly. But
yeah, I would rather they take their time to make sure they make a well-crafted movie. I'm assuming that Star Wars Detours is still going
to
come out.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say about that, Thrasher. Star Wars Detours is a new cartoon series coming out on Cartoon Network that's done by the same guys that do... what's that show called? Got it.
Robot Chicken.
That's right, Robot Chicken. Yeah. Where it's CG animated... And it's for a more juvenile audience, I guess, than the Star Wars Clone Wars cartoon. There's been a few commercials online.
Having seen some clips, the impression I get is, here are some lines that anyone could be saying, but you'll laugh at them if they're coming out of Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, I mean, taken out of context, I don't know if the show is just going to be a bunch of random short sketches like Robot Chicken is, or... If they're gonna,
no, it
oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's gonna have a very similar. It's gonna have a sketch comedy.
Not very right, but with Robot Chicken, you know, the sketches are very, very brief. So sometimes even like a 5-second joke will be a sketch in Robot Chicken. I think Robot Chicken's funny, and you know, Seth Green and who else does he do the show with?
There's a bunch of other people who have guested on it. As far as like who his creative partners are, unfortunately, I can't recall their names off the top of my head. I guess. And again, my concern is that the strength of Robot Chicken is the stuff they're doing is funny to begin with, but takes on a whole new level because they use action figures and established characters. But all the clips I've seen of Star Wars Detours, the only thing that makes it vaguely funny is that Star Wars characters are involved.
Right.
If you just had people acting that out on stage, it wouldn't really be all that funny.
Well, and then Robot Chicken, we were mentioning this, the creators, one of which was actor Seth Green, and also the other one is Matthew Seinreich. I don't know. I'm probably mispronouncing that. And Seinreich was a former writer for the magazine Toy Fair, where in the back they did the action figure comics.
A Twisted Mego Theater.
Yeah, which I think is certainly a basis for Robot Chicken.
Oh, no, it was. In fact, Seth Green actually guest wrote several of those strips.
Oh, okay. So that's probably how they got together in the first place. Interesting.
Yeah, I used to read Toy Fair back in the late 90s.
Yep. I'm trying to think of other... You know, Star Wars has done a lot of crossovers in different mediums lately, and I wonder if that'll keep on continuing when it's under the Disney reign.
Well, it'll be really easy to do with Marvel.
Sure.
Now they're under one roof.
Oh, and speak.
So now we can finally find out what happens when Spider-Man marries Princess Leia. And Galactus, and they try to use the Death Star. Can you use the Death Star to fight off Galactus, Devourer of Worlds? Well, now we can have a canon explanation.
Yeah, I don't know if you do like a crazy like what if Marvel versus Star Wars book or what.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Now that they can, I think it's inevitable that they will.
But then, weren't a lot of Star Wars comics being done under Dark Horse?
Doesn't Marvel own Dark Horse?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm sure that'll change.
Yeah, that'll shake itself out, however it happens. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, I think of all... I think they'll certainly release more Star Wars movies more often now that it's under the Disney line. And I mean, what do you think... I don't know. I think what they could do with an Episode 7 when they announce more about that when it goes into production, I think will be very, very interesting, whether it's a cartoon or not, or whether it's, you know, a generation of Skywalkers several years down the line. They've done certainly some comics dealing with that. And not that they'd have to base anything on the comics or movies at all. But
no, I mean, I really don't think that the movies are beholden to any
kind. Oh, no, they're not.
The movies.
They've said.
And they might not even, and in a lot of ways, the movies aren't even beholden to the continuity of the movies.
Right. It's also true.
Which, not that I'm much of a continuity wonk, though. I frankly, you know, once a story gets sprawling enough, continuity is simply impossible to maintain, so it becomes pointless to bitch about it.
So what do you think about some of the recent Star Wars crossovers? I'm thinking in particular two things. One is the Family Guy did three Star Wars episodes, each, you know, one based on Star Wars, A New Hope, one on Empire Strikes Back, and one of Return of the Jedi. Each one was like a one-hour movie. Sort of thing, spoof. Did you ever see those, or?
I never did,
okay.
But that's because I really don't like Family Guy.
Oh.
It's just, I would say it's a type of humor that I don't really appreciate, but it's not even humor. Hey, Remember This isn't a joke in and of itself, and I can barely stand a half hour of Family Guy. I don't think I could make it through an hour of Family Guy mixed with Star Wars. As much as I like Star Wars.
I think Family Guy can be more than that. A lot of the jokes do turn out like that sometimes, but I think lately, every once in a while, they do an episode that's really good, and I think especially the first Family Guy Star Wars episode is probably my favorite. You had some very bizarre shout-outs to things like Red Skelton or the Chevy Chase Vacation movies or the Blues Brothers.
I do appreciate a good Red Skelton reference.
Yes, it's you know, not something that's expected. The other thing, you know, very recently, the company Roxio announced a team up with LucasArts to come out with a Star Wars Angry Birds game on iOS devices.
They're already selling posters for that.
Yeah, the game comes out in early November 2012. And have you ever played Angry Birds?
Yeah, I have. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I've played a little bit. I think it's fun, but I get very frustrated very easily. And so I'm like, God damn it, why didn't all the things knock down? Why didn't I win that level? But it makes use of the touch stuff pretty good. And I watched some of the recent trailers for Star Wars Angry Birds. And aside from, they've released artwork of the birds looking like Star Wars characters, which it's a weird combination to begin with. And then in a recent trailer, it showed clips from some of the levels where you show an AT-AT, but it's being driven by little pigs in Emperor and Empire costumes. And you're launching Luke Skywalker birds into them and knocking them down.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be an Angry Birds game first and foremost. I'm not sure how what Star Wars is going to bring to it other than classic music and sound effects. Like, I'm not...
Well, I'm very puzzled.
That's
kind of my main thing. Is it going to affect gameplay in any fundamental way? Yeah. Because if it's not going to affect gameplay, is it really worth buying another copy of the game just for the art? You know, different level designs notwithstanding.
I don't know. I think... I think it'll do well. Star Wars is a popular brand, and Angry Birds is really popular. I mean, I just was...
But that's part of the problem. Both of them have achieved a level of popularity in their fields that they no longer have to release good product. They can now turn a substantial profit with absolute crap, so where's the incentive to do anything worthwhile?
Well, let's talk about absolute crap for a second. What is the worst Star Wars video game you've played? And there's been so many released
probably,
over the years.
Probably that Star Wars fighting game that came out in the late 90s.
Star Wars Masters of Taris Kassi for PlayStation?
That was probably
yeah. What about it?
Not all that... very, very clunky design and ridiculously unbalanced.
And that was one that was kind of a...
Chewbacca or a Jedi could pretty much beat anyone without even trying.
It was kind of a knockoff of, like, Virtua Fighter, right? And a very simplistic sort of 3D graphics...
Yeah, the 3D graphics really weren't up to what they were trying to do at the time. It would have been better if they had done sprites, like in the Street Fighter games that existed.
Right, sure. I've played that one. I think that one's pretty bad. One I think that is worse is another one that came out for PlayStation called Star Wars Demolition. And it was a ripoff. Huh. It was a combination of Star Wars and Twisted Metal, where you're in, it's a vehicular arena combat game. But you're just in like cars and stuff. You're not in spaceships.
The thing is, like, that's actually a really solid premise for a Star Wars game, having, like, a demolition derby in the Star Wars universe. I think you could get a lot of mileage out of that idea. But, I mean, that was one of the reasons why the LucasArts games got restructured, was because they had produced a series of crappy Star Wars games that inevitably didn't make them that much money.
Yeah, but out of, like, I think the more recent Star Wars games, I think the first Force Unleashed game was pretty good.
The Force Unleashed was very fun, but I don't like the fact that you have to replay it from the beginning to try for the alternate ending, especially when your decision point comes right before the final fight.
Yeah.
But other than that, up till that point where I realized if I wanted to try the other ending, I would have to start completely over, but up to that point, I actually had a really good time with it. Although, it does set up a conflict which does not get resolved in the game, and I cannot stand that.
I played a bit of the second one, Force Unleashed 2, recently. And
how was that?
Big disappointment. I mean, it's super cheap, so if you're curious, you might as well check it out. I think I got it for like $10 or something used from the store. But... It's, the first one took a long time to get developed. The second one was a really rushed development. I think the graphics and the controls are a bit tighter than the first, but you have less Jedi powers to play with. And the first one had all these different planets and stuff you visited. I think the second, Star Wars Force Unleashed 2, I think you only go to, like, three different levels on three different planets. And that's it. Like, the levels are kind of lengthy, but there's not... Part of the appeal of Star Wars is getting to see different planets, different aliens, and all this stuff. And they cut a lot of that back in the second game. It feels like half a game.
Yeah, I guess that's a problem with modern video games in general. The trend towards downloadable content is now so strong that we are now being asked to purchase incomplete games and then being asked to buy the parts that make it complete later. Assuming anything ever actually makes it complete.
Well, then Force Unleashed 2 ended on kind of a cliffhanger, and then they never made a Force Unleashed 3.
Well, they haven't yet.
They haven't.
There could still be.
There could be, and, you know, who knows with what. Maybe they'll be like Mickey Mouse Star Wars the video game or something. I don't know. Like, like you said, Marvel Star Wars the video game or the comic book. There's a lot of... you could even do, like, a fighting game, like... Marvel versus Star Wars or Disney versus Star Wars, as strange as that would be.
I think Marvel versus Star Wars is much more likely.
Yeah, because he did Marvel versus Capcom and all those versus Marvel and all that stuff. So we have some more to milk out of this topic, I think.
Well, actually, here's a question. Yes. Just between when you first got into Star Wars as a kid and now,
yes,
what Star Wars, like what Star Wars spinoff product, like stories, products, whatever, do you really think are as good, like that you have the same good feelings about as you did about the original trilogy? Like what lives up to that ideal in your mind?
The original trilogy being the ones made from 77 to 83.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there another trilogy? Is there another
yes,
trilogy
there's a,
that I haven't
Yes, there's a prequel about? Trilogy, Thrasher.
But that's not the original.
No, trilogy. No. The original, for any listeners that might be confused, we're talking about Star Wars, A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. But I guess I can say what I think have kind of lived up to it is I really liked, there's a computer game LucasArts made called TIE Fighter, where it was kind of in the mold of Wing Commander, probably a little bit less of a narrative focus, but... you play as a TIE fighter pilot in the Empire, get to fly like TIE bombers, TIE interceptors, all these cool ships. And the plot line was concurrent with the movies, kind of, but also is kind of about there's some members of the Empire that are trying to defect to the rebels and are trying to cause infighting within in the Empire. So it's like it's even though it's based on the movies, sort of, you're not following the exact same plot level for level of the films. Which was kind of neat, and I just think the music and the graphics and everything, and that you got to play as the bad guys, that was one I think that really held up well. And growing up, I read a lot of the Star Wars novels. I haven't read a lot of them in, I don't know, probably since they began the New Jedi Order is probably when I stopped reading the books. But I really liked, there was a Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin that went into backstory of Han Solo and Han Solo meeting Chewbacca that I just thought had a lot of the fun of the older movies that wasn't so convoluted with the gazillion characters and all the characters have kids and some are on the dark side and I don't get, you know, it has so many characters you're juggling around in some of the later books, it's difficult to get a story off the ground. You're just, like, these characters go to this planet, and these characters go to this planet, and they all meet up on the last planet. So what is some, like, Star Wars stuff for you that you think has lived up to the original movies?
Well, like, the original trilogy gives me a really special feeling when I watch it, and the only thing outside of the trilogy that gives me that same feeling are the droids comics that Dark Wars came out with.
Okay.
I mean, they look and feel like classic Star Wars, and they tell really fun pulp adventure stories that all in some way revolve around R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Now, are they adaptations of the Droids cartoon series from the 80s?
No. It has no connection to the Droids animated series. That being said, the Droids animated series is actually very fun. I consider that a worthy outgrowth of Star Wars, but the... I don't know, it just... I really like R2-D2 and C-3PO, and I like that there's a comic where they get to have their own adventures and they get to be their own characters. And I don't know, they're just really fun, and they're fun and they tell good stories, which is what the original trilogy did. It was fun and it told a good story, and I experience very little of that with other spin-off Star Wars things.
I have to check that out. I mean, is it like self-contained stories, a different one every issue, or does it have story arcs, or...?
It starts out with each issue telling us a self-contained story, but I think about 6 or 7 issues in, they start doing longer arcs.
Okay.
The 2 longest ones, one being about the droids getting sort of pulled into a revolution on this planet of bird people that involves this plant that can give you amnesia. And the tyrant wants to use the plant to basically make people slaves by making them forget that they were ever free. And the rebels want to use it to kind of wipe the memory of the tyrant and all of his cronies to make them impotent. And then the other one, which was really cool, which originally the story arc when it started was supposed to be the explanation of why C-3PO has a silver leg. But about halfway through the story arc, episode 1 entered production, And as near as I can tell, Lucas put the kibosh on that because he might want to address that in the movies. So
yeah.
At the end of it, C-3PO goes from... It starts out with C-3PO all gold, his leg gets blown off, he gets his silver leg. Then at the end, his silver leg gets blown off and he gets a gold leg reattached. But that one was actually really fun because C-3PO, due to getting his programming hacked, becomes the leader of a rebel droid army that wants to end mechanical oppression of mechanical beings.
I think one Star Wars thing that's sort of fun recently, or it's not recent, I guess, but in the 80s and then I think in the mid-90s, they did Star Wars radio plays of the first three films, Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. And they got some of the actors from the movies for some of the stuff. Mark Hamill was Luke Skywalker in Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back on those radio plays.
And Anthony Daniels was C-3PO.
Yeah, Anthony Daniels was C-3PO in all three of those.
And Sir Laurence Olivier is R2-D2.
No, that's not right. But
would you believe Peter O'Toole?
I will say in the Return of the Jedi one, you had Ed Asner did the voice of Jabba the Hutt in Huttese, which is very strange. But, yeah, I think, you know, those are fun. And the Star Wars A New Hope one is, like, the longest, and they get shorter as they go on. But even Return of the Jedi, I think, is, like, 6 hours long. And you can hear that. I think they still sell that CD, or if not, you can get it as a digital download from, like, Audible or something. But it's that's a lot of fun. And that the radio play experience, I guess there's podcasts that do the kind of stuff now, but just getting to hear Star Wars as like a full radio play instead of just a book on tape or something, where it's more of an involved production.
It really works well. I mean, the story itself is straight out of the pulps, and the pulps had a tremendous amount of overlap with old radio theater.
Yeah, and all that narration and stuff in the radio plays is fun, too. Excuse me.
Well, I guess we've touched on what we've loved. We might as well touch on what we've hated. Up to this point, what is your most reviled expression of Star Wars?
Reviled expression, that's a big one. You know, I guess one moment where the wind was kind of let out of my sails is I went with my dad to see, and my stepbrother and stepsister and my stepmom, to see Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, in the theater in 99. I was a junior in high school at the time. And I was supposed to go opening night with some friends, but I got really sick and couldn't go. So anyway, I went with my family that weekend. And I'm all excited to see it. I didn't read the book. I didn't spoil myself really with anything. And I sit down, and there was the opening scroll, and there's some of the Jedi on the ship flying towards this Trade Federation vessel, and all this stuff is all exciting. And then these Nemoidian aliens pop up, and they start talking. And they sound like, we must have approval of the Senate. It's like the most stereotypical, to my ears, Asian accent I've heard in my life. And all of a sudden, it was like someone just punched me in the stomach. And I was like, oh dear, oh no, what did I walk into? And I mean, going into that movie, you have like a buildup of liking Star Wars my whole life. And I have so much baggage going into it that it's difficult to let that go when you try to go into a new experience, you know, made over a decade later. What is your most reviled Star Wars experience?
Well, I guess I'd like to say, if you had asked me a few years ago, I probably would have said some of the novels. I have read a handful of very abysmal Star Wars tie-in novels just have no life or sense of adventure in them whatsoever. But I don't know, maybe it has to be Episode 3, which is a shame.
Cause, okay.
Well, because the thing is, Episode 3 is my favorite of the new trilogy, but at the same time, when I see it, I just feel so tired.
Well, what was the moment in Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, that kind of struck you?
No.
Is it something?
Well, I hate the. This is probably really petty, but I hate that line reading Is it Hayden Christensen?
Yes, as Anakin. Yeah.
Where it's like, I will learn to stop people from dying.
Yeah.
It's like that line read just stands out as very poor And just, really, do we want to get the concept of Force Resurrection mixed in with this movie now? I guess what it just like it's a movie that I feel like under normal circumstances I would like dragged down by two preceding movies that I really didn't like all that much.
When there's so much more plot stuffed into Revenge of the Sith compared to the other two prequels, Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
There's so much more action. It's like it took them three movies to remember that these are supposed to be adventure films.
I mean, I think that opening space battle scene in Revenge of the Sith is really beautiful, where it's in the atmosphere of the planet and the camera kind of gently glides along with the ships and all the shit's happening around them. And you get the goofy banter between Obi-Wan, Kenobi, and Anakin, and you're like, oh my God, George Lucas remembered how to make Star Wars again.
It's the space battle to end all space battles. Yeah. I just wish I cared about the characters in it more. Like, I really felt like I really should have been into the character of General Grievous. It's just that he just sort of, like, I'm just sort of asked to like him as a villain the moment he shows up, despite the fact that I haven't. Like, I felt like there was a movie between episode 2 and 3 that I needed to see so that I would know what the fuck was going on in episode 3.
Right, and to make things more confusing with that whole Clone Wars setting is in, before episode 3 came out, they released these two kind of animated short miniseries done by Gendy Tartakovsky, who, you know, did Samurai Jack and Dexter's Lab and stuff for Cartoon Network, that kind of led up to the movie and introduced the characters of General Grievous. And then after the movie came out, Revenge of the Sith, Lucas Animation, I don't know what quite the division is called, came out with the Clone Wars series, which, you know, basically I think is supposed to supersede the continuity if you care that kind of stuff about the Tartakovsky series.
I don't, like, I likes what I likes.
Yeah, sure.
As far as I'm concerned, the parts that I like are canon, and the parts that I don't like, I don't care.
That's fair enough. I think if you think about it too much, it drives you crazy. And I think George Lucas's comment on it is, he says there's three continuities. There's the continuities of the films, there's the continuities of, you know, the books and the comics and all that stuff, and then there's the fans' continuity.
That's kind of honest, actually.
Yeah, and he's not saying that one doesn't matter or anything, but just the one he's involved with happens to be the film continuity. And by that extension, the Clone Wars, the CG series.
You know, I guess that's why I'm so ambivalent about the possibility of more Star Wars movies. I don't want to be let down again. I don't want to have my heart broken again. And I know that that's pretty grandiose terms to describe some pulp sci-fi movies, but Star Wars is a major part of my childhood, and it's a part of my childhood that I want to pass on to my children, but I want to pass on what Star Wars was. I don't want to pass on what Star Wars has become.
You've mentioned off mic, Thrasher, that you really enjoyed the Star Wars crossover episodes of The Muppet Show with Mark Hamill and C-3PO.
I'm actually shocked that didn't make it into our Muppet coverage.
You might have mentioned it at some point, and I just know you've talked about it a lot.
Yeah, I really love that.
I've never seen it. I need to track that one down. But I also think of a Star Wars crossover that was sort of funny is you had Mark Hamill as a guest on the episode of The Simpsons, where he's playing Luke Skywalker in a musical version of it.
Well, it's a musical of guys, and the musical is Guys and Dolls, but he's playing Luke Skywalker in Guys.
That's
and
right,
Dolls.
And they change all the lyrics,
which is a musical, even though it's not a musical. And in fact, that's not the only character Mark Hamill plays. Mark Hamill also plays the drill sergeant who trains Homer how to be a bodyguard. Yeah, because when he got on the stage, I don't just play me. I've been doing voice acting work for the past 15 years. Give me something else to do.
Yeah, sure.
And he kind of talked them into giving him other parts.
No, Mark Hamill is great.
And actually, the audio commentary for that episode, which is on the Simpsons DVDs, Mark Hamill is on the audio commentary, and it's really good and really informative, and he actually talks about his extended relationship with Star Wars and the Simpsons, and, you know, how, like, originally when he read the script, he was like, I would never go to a convention and dress up as Luke Skywalker to get just cheap applause from the fans. I want to promote my own material, like my graphic novel. And then it occurred to him in the middle of being really angry at the script, oh, wait, this is a joke. And then from that point on, he completely bought into it.
That's pretty interesting. That's a pretty good point. I'm just trying to think of other things Lucasfilm has done over the years. You know, maybe we'll see, maybe with this Disney buyout, we'll see. They did a young Indiana Jones TV series. Like we said, we don't know with Indiana Jones if that'll be under the Disney umbrella eventually, although I imagine it would
Maniac
be.
Maniac Mansion would be. Lucasfilm
did a Maniac Mansion sitcom. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I used to watch
it. I've never seen it. Does it have anything to do with the game at all?
Vaguely. I mean,
yeah.
It has the family. It has the family, although it's different. Aside from Dr. Edison, it's different versions of the family. And it does have the meteorite. And it touches on some similar things, but it's sort of like a Mad Science Addams Family.
Eugene Levy's in that, right?
Yes, he plays Dr. Ed.
Is it any good?
I remember it being very enjoyable. I actually have not seen it recently. The episode that I most want to revisit is just the mindfuck episode where there's the containment field that contains the meteorite starts to leak and it releases radiation that drives the family insane. And so all the family members start taking up these weird, affected personality traits. One of the characters becomes Southern Gothic and starts is just constantly sweating and fanning himself and talking about whatever is to be done with Dr. Edison. And it's just really kind of dark and twisted.
Hmm.
But you know, I'd kind of like to end this on a hopeful note. What do you hope comes out of the Lucasfilm being passed on to Disney?
As Lucasfilm and all the associated stuff passing on to Disney, I think one thing that I hope is that Star Wars video games will improve again, and that there'll be. I would like to somehow see whether it's an Xbox Live Arcade game or something, but I'd like to see them do another game in the style of X-Wing or TIE Fighter. You don't see a lot of those games anymore, but I think doing it under a smaller budget because they even did something called X-Wing versus TIE Fighter that was, for the most part, multiplayer only. It had a small single player mode.
I used to play that actually. It was all multiplayer focused.
And I think if you updated that or even updated the Star Wars Battlefield, which they're rumored to be doing, you know, for modern consoles as just a downloadable title that's a bit lower budget, I think it would be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that stuff happening. Hopefully, I guess. I would just hope that whatever next series of Star Wars movies they do with whatever characters are in them, I just hope it has a real sense of fun and action and romance that the original trilogy had, and that it's not quite as self-serious and ponderous as the prequels could sometimes become.
Yeah, on the subject of games, I agree with you. I would love to see some good Star Wars games. I'd love to see him experiment with some different genres.
Right.
I would love a Star Wars video game, kind of multiplayer focused game that's sort of done in the style of Team Fortress, where you're different teams of bounty hunters competing over prizes or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that would be very, very fun. To the point where you could actually you could make the teams a little less generic, and you could actually have the light side team, the dark side team.
Right, and you could have a lot of humor in there too with all the Star Wars gadgets
and
aliens,
which
works.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, what is something you'd be hoping to come from films or something coming out of this?
Well, I guess a good movie.
A good movie,
but I want. I guess in my mind a good Star Wars movie would have to be a hard break with what's come before.
Hmm.
A good Star Wars, it's set it in the Star Wars universe, keep the sense of fun from the original Star Wars, the pulp adventure sensibilities from the original Star Wars, but just don't bother trying to connect it with any established part of the Star Wars setting. No Skywalkers, no R2-D2, no C-3PO, just I want to see some people who aren't Lucas but who love this setting play with this setting but make their own toys.
Right, yeah. I think a lot of people are hoping that.
I don't want to see anything warmed over. I want to see I guess in a lot of ways, I want to see a Star Wars movie made as if no Star Wars movie had ever been made before.
I think something else you could do that would be pretty neat with this collaboration is Dark Horse did a series of comics a few years ago that was a called Star Wars, part of their Infinities line, part of the What If line, but they kind of did these things of the original trilogy where it was like, what would happen if, you know, something different, you know, and I think in the Star Wars New Hope, it was like, what if Luke Skywalker missed when he hit the torpedo at the Death Star?
Well, damn.
Right. Or Empire Strikes Back, it was like, what if Luke Skywalker died in the snow and Han Solo didn't get to him in time? And I forget what it was for Jedi, but they did all these, like, neat twists and spinoffs, and they were self-contained stories running over a few different issues that I think was a lot of fun. You're playing with the kind of movie stuff, but kind of going off in weird directions. I would like to see them sort of, if they did that with the prequels, I think that would be sort of funny. Or even adapting one of those as a cartoon would be kind of wild.
That actually, some Star Wars What Ifs would actually be pretty cool.
Because they've done the I think it was called Star Wars Tales for Dark Horse, where there's a bunch of like short one-shot comics doing stories in that universe. But yeah, I think What If in Star Wars would be a fun combination to see in comic book form. Is there anything else you'd be hoping to get Thrasher out of this collaboration other than even more action figures and TV shows and movies and video games and stuff?
Well, actually, a good graphic novel would be pretty damn cool. Also, a good board game. There hasn't been a good Star Wars board game in a... I'm not even sure if there ever has been a good Star Wars board game.
Growing up, I had Star Wars Monopoly. And...
But, I mean, I guess I want something fast-paced fun where you get to do heroic or villainous actions and get to affect the Star Wars universe. Whether it would be, like, a game of conquest where you're trying to take over a board or what. But a really cool, fun Star Wars tabletop board game.
You could do a knockoff of Cards Against Humanity meets Star Wars.
Well, all you have to do is just print your own Cards Against Humanity custom set and put in Star Wars references. That's all you need.
Do they do custom sets for that?
Yeah, you can do customs. Go to the, I believe it's cardsagainsthumanity.com. You can download card blanks and forms. You can make your own cards and take them out and get them printed yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty much open source now.
Yeah.
You can even, if I remember correctly, at least as of last month, you could download the whole game from them for free and print it as long as you wanted to print it yourself.
Hmm.
How much replayability do you think that would have?
I don't know. That's the problem with the Cards Against Humanity stuff. I think it's fun. I had a lot of fun playing it at a party, but yeah, I don't want to go through the cards. That's sort of it, which I guess is why you buy expansions or make your own.
Yeah.
I think we've had a good discussion here about, you know, Disney's buyout of Lucasfilm, LucasArts, ILM, all that stuff.
And it's a discussion we may have to revisit when any new film comes out, or if a major piece of Star Wars ephemera comes out of the ether.
Sure, which I think one thing for certain, when all this, you know, I don't know when this takeover fully kicks into effect, you know, I think it won't. It's not like they just announced it today and it's already the case or what. Maybe it is. I have no idea. But I don't think it'll be too long before we see more information about stuff, whether it be a new cartoon series or a new Star Wars Episode 7 movie or comic or whatever else they decide to do. So I hope you like this episode of SequelCast Special. You can check out the rest of them over at SequelCast.com. Or you can also check us out at Facebook.com/SequelCast. For the SequelCast Special, this is Matt.
And this is Thrasher.
Saying,
may the Force be with you.
May the Mickey Mouse be with you, always.
May the Force be with you! Come on, Pluto!
Ooh, ooh, ooh. There you go.
Oh, boy!
Yep. Oh, I can close it out with some comments people posted on our Facebook page.
Oh, absolutely. That might be fun to read out loud.
Yeah. You know, first, Alex commented... Now his failure is complete. Fan of the show BJ commented, and if you want to budge in on one of the things they're saying, just go right ahead. I can't help
but... Oh, is this on the main thread?
On the main thread, yeah. So BJ, you know, who's been a co-host of the SequelCast earlier on, and he sometimes pops on. great friend of the show, says, I can't help but look at this and see a bright future. Disney's acquisitions of Muppets and Marvel have done wonders for the movie franchises with both. I am also happy for George Lucas to get some rest. That's a good point about the Muppets, because that new Muppets film was pretty good.
That's true, although you got to wonder how much credit really goes to Disney and how much goes to the... Because I guess that's the thing. The credit really needs to go to the creative people behind the endeavor, not the logo on the back of the box.
Mm-hmm. BJ also considers all the hate he's gotten for the prequels have gotten him a nice retirement. Considering how pleased I was with The Avengers and The Muppets, I am interested in seeing someone finally do the last trilogy and hopefully to see it done well.
Then Alex Fox Harris says, perhaps the movies won't be so bad, but think of it like this. George started out with an indie filmmaker mind and hated the studio system, but over the years he's become a successful studio head, and in the end sells his life works to Disney, one of the largest and most prolific media conglomerates ever. He is his own Darth Vader.
That's an interesting food for thought, although I mean, in how big Lucasfilm and all the subsidiary companies have gotten since then, it was already kind of an empire... corporation thing to begin with. I mean, he really grew into something huge, and with Disney, it can grow that much bigger. And lastly, Jordan says, since George Lucas won't be the writer and director, he might have some sort of writing credit if they base it off some of his outlines, who knows. I'm hopeful regarding the Star Wars Episode 7. Oh, certainly Lucas will get some cut, I would think. So, great. All right. I'll see the next sequel cast special. I'll see you next time.
I'm Han Solo, picking up my blaster, putting it on my sign, I'm jumping in my Falcon, put me at my side. I'm Han Solo, I'm Han Solo.
So far so good, I'm fucking you.